further I go in Him, and the more peace that I have, the more I find out how that it is all by His grace.
Amen.
And I'm also finding out how much I can appreciate leaning on You and You on me and lifting up a standard of His grace. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How many of you know our prayers make a difference? Hallelujah. Whether you know it or not, and you do, David said, I will love Thee. O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He's my deliverer, my God, my strength. In Him will I trust. My buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. I don't know if any of you have ever just occasionally for a fleeting moment felt this. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple. Hallelujah. My cry came before Him, even unto His ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did He do? Did He say, you haven't paid your tithes enough? You haven't been in the house of God enough? Oh, by the way, the time clock on your prayer life has not registered enough. On the contrary, the earth shook. Hallelujah. And it trembled. Hallelujah. What do you think's happening? This is your Father coming to your rescue. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved and were shaken because He was angry. Who? Not at you. Your enemies. Hallelujah. There went up smoke out of His nostrils and fire out of His mouth. Devouring coals were kindled by it. He bowed down the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. And yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place, and His pavilion around about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before Him, His thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Is this some kind of demonstration or what? This is your Father showing His power against your enemies. Hallelujah. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, He sent out His arrows. I like this part. And He scattered them. He shot out lightnings and devoured or discomforted them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at Thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Thy nostrils. He sent from above, and He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Hallelujah! He delivered me from the strong enemy, from my strong enemy, from them that hated me, from they that were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Hallelujah! He brought me forth also into a large place. Hallelujah! He delivered me because He delighted in me. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Glory! Hallelujah! Sometimes you just got to shout, Hallelujah! I don't think that we're through this morning. I think we're just beginning. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I think it would do some of you good to come up here. Come up here and be a part of this. Hallelujah. Why don't you come? Why don't you come up and stand up here as a family and just worship the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. We exalt You. We exalt You. Now's the time just to Let the Lord move on your behalf. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Magnify your name. Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. You guys showed up at the wrong church this morning. No, wait a minute. I was going like this and I said, Hallelujah. That's a little bit better. How many of you have old, religious roots in you? Old. Your family goes back to old Orthodox church. Old. Where there was cobwebs in the corner. Of the... You said bye-bye. Hallelujah. Jesus. That's what I wanted to hear. You said bye-bye. Hallelujah. The blind section is right in here. That's why they're not. You can't see them. Hallelujah. But they're healed. Glory to God. The blind see and the lame walk. When are you going to stop saying that, Pastor? How about the 12th of never? How about that? You got that calendar date? Put it on there. Hallelujah. I bless your name. That you'd know, he said, say what I have provided. Say what I have provided. For I have provided these things and much more. But know this, that these things have not been provided just in this house or on lines like this. But what I love to do the most is show my love and affection for you on an everyday basis, saith the Spirit of grace. For the mundane things that you think that I would not come and visit you in, I would love to prove myself as a father to you and as a loving Lord to you, that if you'd give me the opportunity to come with my grace, you'd find that what happens to you on a daily basis will far outweigh and replace anything that could happen to you on a momentary basis in a church service, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Now, if it would have been a one-time shot, like I got saved and that was it, then he wouldn't have put in there that it had to be a transformation process. And he said, by the renewing of your mind, meaning your spirit, may have been born in the righteousness of God, but you do have an enemy, and the enemy's not out there. You're as close as the mention of your own name. That is the person that is yet being transformed into the image of Christ. Now, how close, intact, do I need to keep it? Well, Paul said this. He said, I buffet my body, or I beat up my body. Not my spirit. My spirit's okay. But Paul said, lest I, having preached to all the rest of you, found myself a castaway. So evidently it was important for him to tell us that there was something that we needed to do. To buffet our body was not to buffet it. It was to buffet and to bring it under subjection to Jesus Christ at all times. How often? Well, Paul said this, the outward man is in a dying process, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. So it sounds like almost on a 24-hour basis, There was a necessity. Why? Because otherwise, even if you were born again, you could start thinking like status quo. You could start thinking like status quo. How much of what you do, how much of what you do that keeps you from having fellowship with Him is really, really excusable and sanctified on the basis of He's saying that's just human stuff and you need to do that. Most of us live in a world that everything around us that's keeping us from going on is justified in our own mind because it's status quo. And our minds have not been renewed enough to recognize it and say, wait a minute. That's something I say I got to do as a mommy. I got to do as a daddy. I got to do as a grandma. I got to do this. And He knows all of that. But how much more does the enemy try to get involved in all the things of life if we're not standing there in a daily basis, some part of our day being renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we just say, this is what I am because I am, and that's the way life is. He wants to come and fellowship with you on a daily basis. He does. And then I found out that He'll replace and redeem your time and give you the ability to go and do a whole lot more. Hallelujah. He's not wanting to take anything from you. He's wanting to give you a whole lot more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You'll swear. You will swear on a stack of Bibles and to your best friend, the preacher, that there's just nothing left to give. You just can't give God anymore because this is your whole, you know, I've got all this going on. You'll swear, that's right. But you're looking at that through your eyes. And your mind hasn't been renewed. You need a washing of your mind. And as your mind is renewed, then you step back and you say, my God, that's gobbling up that. I'm just letting it gobble up here and letting it gobble up there. And my whole life's being spent gobble, gobble, gobble. And it's just being gobbled up, gobbled up, gobbled up. And I thought I was doing it because I was a good mommy, a good daddy, a good businessman, a good wife, a good husband. And the Lord said, hey, that's good. Do all that. But won't you put me first and let me show you how to be a good mommy, how to be a good daddy, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Will the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The demonstration of power. What we're really after is Jesus. Isn't that right? We're not worshiping a revival, but we're after Jesus. But since we're after Him, you know what He comes with? He comes with a package of power. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I found out next week, and I'm just as honest as I can be, I'm standing in the church. I think lightning could come through the rafters. If I found out I couldn't have the power, and that I couldn't have a revival, I would quit. I wouldn't deny Him, I wouldn't apostatize, but I wouldn't preach to you anymore. I'd tell you this is all over, and go find yourself a good flash in the pan church and somebody to make you feel extremely good about yourself. Extremely good. And I don't want to make you feel bad. I just want to provoke you into living higher than where you're living at. And if the blind can't see, and if the lame can't walk, you say, well, I don't, it's not that, for to me, it's my life. Because I've done seen Him one time. I've already seen Christ. And I know what's available. And then for me to live underneath that, see what it is. Paul said this, one thing I want to do is I want to know Him. And then he said, I want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. Now let me tell you something. You cannot, if you think your sufferings are, well, I've got this pain in my side, or I've got a blind eye. I've seen people on a man of God show that I love. He's a miracle worker. And he let a guy sit there and say that his blindness or his infirmity was a gift from God. Now thank God that guy's happy where he's at, but he's deadly wrong. God does not put something on you that he already put on Jesus Christ. And I don't care if it's me or who it is, but I'm going to tell you this. Jesus Christ died under the penalty of death. There's not another human being on the planet Earth that can take an infirmity in his body and let that infirmity glorify God. Well, I can show you scripture, Pastor. Pull it out, because I can tell you one thing about it. When it's said and done at the end of the day, if we pray in tongues long enough, one scripture will not contradict another scripture. And he said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And he who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give you everything that he paid the penalty for? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, I can bless his name knowing this, he's always the same. Yes. Yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. If they were on my show and they started that stuff, I'd either say, no, brother, you can't say that, or I'd have one of those big hooks that come out and hook around somebody's neck and pull them off. That's it. Hallelujah, Jesus. I bless your name. Don't get me started. She's saying it. She's probably going to tell me, Bubba, 18 times. But it was what we needed, wasn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus, I bless you. I worship you. Help me out just a minute. Just magnify him. I exalt you. I love you so much, Jesus. You are the truth and the way. I exalt you and glorify you. Then if we write these kinds of letters, somebody, I came in Friday night and they said, I got your guilt letter. Now I hope you read those letters. I don't sit down in 5 minutes and write them. They come from a whole reservoir of doctrine from years and years. I know you get a lot of stuff in the mail that's worth throwing away. But that's not one of them. That's not one of them. It'll take you about 10 minutes to read it. And you'll get more wealth in that. Will it convict me? Probably, because it was convicting me as I was writing it. But you know what? People are scared of conviction. Conviction's a good thing. If you go to the gym, if you go out every day and you're not sore, you shouldn't be in the gym. Because you're not doing anything that affects you. You're not growing. You should come to church every time and say, oh God, put me through a process. Make me better than I was when I came. Convict me. I mean convict me. I love conviction. Conviction makes me better than I once was. Hallelujah. It grows me up. Hallelujah. Some people don't like it because they like to think everything is just perfectly in order. Listen, you can walk around in His peace because that's His approval. But that doesn't mean that you're not going from glory. Listen, I'm a far cry right now from where I'll be next year. Hallelujah. Does that mean He condemns me for I'm... No, He's head over heels excited that you're here this morning. But He'd like it if you just said, okay, God, when you prick my spirit on the inside about what I'm not doing, I won't close my mind to you. I'll just say, yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Okay, you can have that, Lord. Hallelujah. Marty, I think that's a good introduction. Come on. I believe the Lord had something. Where's that handheld? Hallelujah. He wanted to testify. He said Friday night, maybe, or Wednesday. I said, no, I think now. Hallelujah.
Okay. I felt like doing it earlier. Now I don't want to. Friday night we were joking around about Pastor's letter, and I said, no, I took that thing and I lit my bee smoker with it. So I'm not going to read that letter. I intended on reading it because I put it in the place where I sit, and I got, everybody has their place that they pray, and I got like a couple places depending on what kind of mood I'm in, depending on what I'm trying to get away from at the house because we homeschool our kids, so I got to find multiple places to avoid, what's going on and stuff. So it's like I can't say, oh, I can't pray because kids are over here. Well, I got another spot. I got to find ways to trick myself, because if I lose my peace over that, then I just stay mad for a month and nobody wants to be around me. So I said, well, I know what I'll do, because like one day I was sitting there and like the Lord showed up and I had clarity and the enemy left for a minute. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set up different places. And I said, that way if something happens over here, I'll go over here. And actually, I have three. Now that I think about it, I got one I haven't been in a while. It's like the backup place. If it really gets bad, I got this other place that nobody knows about. But if I don't, I mean, I don't know if anybody's tried to pray, but it's hard. And what the Lord was showing me, because like a week before I got the letter, me and Gay were talking. I was like, if we don't figure this out, there's going to be people that are going to want to know, and we're not going to be able to impart that what we received, because we never received it. We just putting forth effort, And it's like you have to, but then it's like, yeah, but, through the grace confessions, I've been telling myself effort doesn't eradicate effort, and worry doesn't eradicate worry. So I'm convincing myself of one thing, but then trying to use another to get into fellowship, and it was like bouncing off each other. And I was like, man, I was just really getting tired. And I was like, the time just, maintenance prayer all day long. I'm like, yeah, it's good. I've got a CD player in my truck now, and I can put the Bible in there. I got all kinds of stuff. I can listen to worship. I can switch back and forth. Some days, I'm in my truck all day long, and it's like you can listen to 1 John, and some of them I can set them up where I can repeat them, keep listening to the same thing over and over, and that's great. But what the Lord did, we had talked, and I told Gay, I said, if I wake up 10 years from now like this, I'm going to be really upset. I'm going to be hard to get along with. I'm going to walk through that door, and you're going to want to shake my hand. I'm just going to smack you, and I'm going to want to start a fight because I want somebody to hit me. Because I'm going to be really, really upset, because time is like clicking along, I'm like, wait a minute. Been here June, it'll be 7 years in this place. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What was I going to be doing 7 years from now, what I said 7 years ago? And it may not have been what I'm doing right now, or maybe it's better than I thought, because really it is good. I mean, he can say things to me, and I see things, and so it is better. And there is the fruit of fellowship has been taking root in my life, and it's like, wow, and many times I sit and I'm like, I'm so glad I'm here. I mean, I could be, I don't know where I could be. I could be at home watching TV and just cut it off, go live life. So with that, we just kind of said that to each other and really didn't sit around and go back through the whole thing again. Got the letter, and I looked at it. I'm like, oh, a letter. Haven't got one in a while. I said, that's probably a good one. So I set it in the place where I could read it, and I didn't get a chance Friday because a long, busy day trying to get things done. And we had a busy day planned Saturday, but nothing was working out. So we just, boom, shut everything down. Came in the house, quiet. Kids go out and play. They come in and out a lot, but still, it's like I'm not thinking about work. I'm not trying to figure out what to do. Just start getting back in a mode of just not thinking about anything. And it takes a long time sometimes. Sometimes with us, it takes an hour or two sitting around the house just not doing a blessed thing, and then go into prayer after that. Just so, you're not like your mind's driving you crazy while you're trying to pray. And it's so sweet, because it's like that was a little bit of wisdom that helped. Like, take the whole half a day Saturday off, spend 2 hours doing nothing, eat a good lunch, and then go pray. It's like, wait a minute, I spent 2 hours getting ready to pray, But it was worth it. Because we sat there, started reading the letter. It took 2 hours to decompress just in order to where I could read the letter without thinking the grass needs to be mowed. Of course, I don't mow grass in my house anyway, so I wouldn't think that. I'd be thinking something else. But that's what the analogy is, Oh, yeah, the grass needs to be mowed, truck needs to be fixed, oil needs to be changed. But none of that happened. I read through the letter. And, he showed up. And I got to thinking, he started showing me markers. Like, I don't know, there used to be a thing a while back about spiritual markers in your life, and I remember things like a marker like the day I got saved, you know, November 4th, you know, 1990. And I can stop a minute and I go back to that place. And I can see the faces of the people that received me into the family when I got born again. And I can just, oh, you know, and I can live there for a little while because it was so real. So it's like there's a marker. And I was thinking about, because he said markers, so I'm thinking about the markers that I'm familiar with in spiritual sense. And so May, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, me and my wife. And I can remember it like it was yesterday because we were in bee suits and it was raining and we were soaking wet. And I drug her down to the front. She goes, "We are not dressed for this. We're, you know," I said, "Yes, we are." I said, "We're wet. Let's get wetter." And we went down the front. We stunk. I don't know what we smelled like. Smelled like smoke from the bee smoker, you know, but I mean, and it wasn't just quiet thing. It was an explosion. There was 8 or 10 of us up there. And it was glorious. So I can like go back. Okay, there's another marker. And I can count markers like 6 months after that, got real hungry. Found somebody to disciple us, home Bible studies, pour through the word, you know, night after night. We'd be sitting there in this guy's driveway waiting on him to get home from work, dripping oil in his driveway. He lived in a nice neighborhood. But we were just like, "Where you at?" 2, 3, 4 hours, you know, we started bringing Barbara. And next thing you know, we had 15 people in this man's living room. And he's like, "Oh, God." But markers, different markers. And I'm going through some of mine while I'm sitting there in this chair. And I'm like, markers. But then I switched over into the natural. Markers in the natural that I used to train myself to get things done. And it wasn't like some of them I didn't really decide to do. Like we've always lived far out of town. So to drive long distances, I mark things out so the trip isn't long. Like I tell the kids all the time, they used to complain, "Oh, man, this drive to Naples from wherever, you know. Oh, that drive to Immokalee. Oh, that drive to Fort Myers." I'm like, no. I said, you know, like from our house, I said, "It's a short drive to Felda." I said, "It's a short drive to church from there. It's only like 8 minutes, you know." I said, "Then, you know, about 5 minutes across town." I said, "You got 10 minutes to Corkscrew Swamp through there, and then you got another 5-10 minutes, you're at 951. And we'd mark it out that way. Next thing you know, our trips aren't so bad. And I didn't think to do that. It was just, it was something that I did. And I didn't realize how valuable it was until I tried to pray. And it was like I didn't have things in my prayer time that marked it out because my soul sat there and wanted to know when this was going to be over with. And really the biggest thing was, Jesus, I wanted to know. When am I going to conform to this image? You know, and I know that for a while, you know, we stopped playing like how long, because maybe it was saying how long is before he does it, because he already did it, and I know that. And I know I need to conform to it, but it was like I look at myself in the mirror and I say, "When are you going to conform to this?" And that's so I say that to myself, "When are you going to conform to this?" Because he already did it. When are you going to get healed? When are you going to receive revival? When are you going to receive an outpouring? Because it's not just him. I'm called to a revival. It's not my revival. It's their revival. So it has nothing to do with me. So my life is not my own. It never has been. And so it's like, when am I going to receive this and how? And I just, you know, for 7 years I've been sitting here thinking it's just going to drop out of the sky. And it probably will, but it has to be received, and it's going to drop out of the sky. But Friday night I saw this when we were worshiping. Something happened that was just, it hit everybody, and Pastor said it, so I knew what was happening. It wasn't just like him coming and the tears. He came and he touched us with a little touch of that compassion for the lost, and oh my God, I was back there in the back, and I just, where's the tissues? I can't even think now. But then up here this morning, same thing happened again. And it was like I couldn't even function. I mean, it was like, I hope he doesn't ask me to say it then because I can't do it. You know, I need to get a hold of myself here for a minute, even though I don't want to. But it was the most agonizing, joyous thing I ever felt in my life. And Friday night, I saw this picture. And I don't even know if this is theologically correct, but I saw this. Jesus, He has the most beautiful hair. I don't know if anybody's ever seen him. Even if you read it in the Bible and then you just try to think, yeah, that's what he looks like. He's not the pictures you've seen at the churches where, you know, he's all got this thing on his head. But he has this beautiful hair. And it's like it glows. And it's almost like you can't tell if it's silver or white. And he took one of them, but he didn't like, boom, it didn't come out of his head. It was like he reached over and he took it. And he like stepped over and he dropped it on Immokalee. And it like came down, and then it was like this word precious came. And I was thinking of the lady who took her tears and wiped his feet with her hair. And I was thinking, like, you know, he receives the precious love from us back to him in that fellowship. And then I realized what was so precious to us. And yeah, our salvation is precious, but what is on this earth in a natural sense, what was very precious to us is our time. And I this is how I knew it. Because if you ask me to do something and you're so-and-so with a business, you want to get paid by the hour. You won't do anything unless someone pays you by the hour. You can't get somebody to show up, do such and such for free. Like, well, we got a good thing going here. Come on. It's like, what, are you kidding me? And if, okay, let's say right now in our economy, I don't know what hourly wages are, but let's say 15, 20 bucks an hour, 10 bucks an hour. I don't know what people get paid, but, you know, depending on where you're at and what you do. But let's say a company shows up outside of town, they buy a big hunk of land, big old factory come rolling in, starting pay, bottom man, $20 an hour. You'd quit your job. I mean, it's like, you know what? Like that guy a lot, 10 years there. We're starting over here because your time. And that's what he showed me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Right here on this earth, the most precious thing I got is my time. And it's like, I realized it. And I realized how it was from a monetary sense. If I won't do anything for money, then that's what's precious to me. So then it was like, okay. So those thing about the markers. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I got markers in the road in order to drive somewhere. Because I help the kids when we got long trips because we got places to go. I got to drive to North Carolina sometimes. They all load up. Oh, man, long trip. You know, after a while, the TV will make you sick if you got one in your car. It's like you can't do too much of that. So we say, okay, you know, mark it out. You know, Georgia and different places, South Carolina, hotels, places we like to stop and eat. So I'm trying to figure out how to do this in my prayer time. And what we did, and we've done this before, and it came from something that the Lord did about 10 months ago, Sunday morning, 5:30 in the morning. I prefer to be sleeping, but I was awake, and I was stirred, and there was something in the house. And I was like, what is this? And it was really good. I got up, coffee pot on, go sit in the chair, and there's just something brooding in the house. I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. I felt this before. You know, it's been a while in the house. I mean, it wasn't like I initiated it through private time worship. It came and got me. It was like it came and captivated my heart. And I was like, wow, this is really great. And the Holy Spirit said something to me. Maybe it was the Father. I don't know. I can't tell them apart right now. Somebody says something, I listen. I said, I want your afternoons. I'm like, I wasn't like, how am I going to do that? I was like, cool, I want my afternoons. I like the sound of that, you know. And it was like a little side note, you know. And you could, there were certain projects and things in the natural just out of love for people that I've always wanted to do but never been able to do it. Because in the natural, you know, things can really get messed up and I wanted God to be in it. And he said, you can do those other things kind of like on the side of all that. And so for just an experiment, we took a couple days, and our business is a little different, so we can manipulate things, but it worked out so good. We took a whole day, or actually we didn't take a whole day. We did exactly what he said. We worked till noon, got up early, did our stuff, got home, and shut the whole house down. I mean, lights down, a couple CDs in there, and boy, it was so great. But then the enemy came and just started, boy, just stuff to do, and it was like, oh my goodness. But I realized I wasn't condemned because we didn't continue doing it. It was like, you know what, this is a worthwhile goal. This is worthwhile figuring out how to do this. And it's going to take some time. And so not receiving any condemnation because I didn't continue to do it that way, I just kept my heart open for the past 10 months. How, Lord? Wisdom. You know, I'm going to go find her because obviously she's not out in the street where I'm at. I'm going to have to go find her. So I've just been spending time figuring out a way just to receive that. Because without it, I can't do that. I mean, you could, but, you know, we did it for a week or two. And then, boom, you know, the whole world just explodes around you. I mean, there's things to do, people calling. You got I mean, we got our own business, and it can turn into a nightmare without even trying. It really can. So it was like, all right. And then the Saturday started showing us, why don't you go ahead and do something like that, but a little different. Take 3 hours, 4 hours, mark it out. Because, you know, if you play a Born Again Trail CD, it's 60 minutes. You know, you can mark out an hour that way without having to, you know, once you start doing this, it's like, boy, you know, that hour turns into like six. So it was like, we had done that before, me and Rex, and some of the guys said, you know, let's use that for our hour of praying in tongues, and then we'll find something else. And I don't have the rest of it, of exactly how to do it, but it was like, I see that there's some hope here, and I got real excited. I was like, all right, so we'll take a day and another day, and we'll come in the afternoon, and we'll just, boom, we'll mark out the 3 hours. I'm not sure what we're going to do. We're going to pray in tongues, we're going to worship, we're going to confess. I mean, that's 3 hours right there. But, you know, I was realizing with the kids and stuff, if they don't have a way to mark it out, you know, they're going to be daydreaming during it. It's not going to work for them. So there's going to be more to come with that. But I was so excited about it. I was like, oh, finally, you know, pieces of this puzzle starting to come together. Because, I mean, sometimes you just throw your hands up and you're like, you know, my flesh is running this show and I don't know how to get around this. And it wasn't like I was mad about it. I was mad that when I was younger, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe when I first got saved, I didn't condition myself right away. I just let me develop into whatever. And now it's like I got a little bit of a fight there, but worthwhile fight. Worthwhile. Worthwhile receiving wisdom. And it's not like, I don't know how to say this, but maybe I do. The immediacy of needing to spend a bazillion hours in prayer every day, it would make you crazy. But the importance of having your heart open to Him and just receiving how He wants you to do it, you know, because that was always the thing. It was like, all right, pastor spends whatever he spends. I don't even know what he spends. I've assumed what he spends. I don't even know. It's something, and it's more than what I do. And so it's like the enemy loves to take that and just smack you upside the head with it. And even if, you know, you go through a week, we used to love Friday nights because you come in the door, you could pray in tongues, you could worship, you could at least get 2 hours in, and you could stay late if you could stand it, you know. But I noticed on Friday nights, the soul put in some markers at 10 o'clock, boom, out the door we go. I'm like, we're talking to Gay. I said, you know what? He also showed me what Pastor had said about your muscles having a memory and how when you work out and stuff, your muscle will have a memory to, let's say you're benching 300 pounds. Well, you can stop benching for a while and you start working out again, you'll get to that 300 and you'll probably want to stop there. And if you want to do more, you got to start stretching. And I said, let's take Friday night and let's just go ahead and do that extra hour. Pay the price. Fight back, you know, because it turned into this soul was trying to tell us what to do. And we'd show up, oh, we're tired, let's go. And every time we were tired, it's like, wait a minute, that's the wrong thing telling me what to do. So we thought, well, let's just take that one. It's a little piece, Friday night, in addition to what we do at home. But let's take Friday night and let's stretch it. Because most of us that come on Friday night, we've been doing it. But let's say you start showing up on Friday night and you haven't been. You're like, man, I want to get in there. Well, if you want to go home at 10 o'clock, don't worry about it. We've been going home at 10 o'clock for years. I mean, no big deal. I mean, my God, if anybody shows up, it's wonderful. Sometimes there's nobody here. But it's like we're going to take, and there's going to be a few of us that are going to stretch that hour. And we're going to stretch it till our soul has a marker to where that second I hear myself say I'm tired, I'm going to put it down and I'm going to finish the hour. And that's what he showed us.
Hallelujah. We're moving more and more towards a realm where the revival is getting closer. You say, how do you know that? Because he's having us speak more to the revivalist. And it won't be, it's not like that he's leaving anybody else in the cold, but let's say, for instance, you can't hardly relate because you say, I'm just trying to stay saved. You need the people that are out in front. You just better pray and hope that even if you're not doing it, that somebody's doing it. Amen. For your benefit. Because anybody that crosses the line has the capacity to pull glory back here on this planet Earth. And what he's really asking us to do more and more now is to speak to you revivalists, the ones that are saying, I can smell it. I'll go after it. He's not asking you. He's not asked one of you. And if I've ever implied you heard me wrong, that you were supposed to be doing what I'm doing, unless you've got the availability. But whatever you're supposed to be doing, there's grace for it. Hallelujah. You say, well, we hear a lot about prayer because we're going to receive this revival. And I can tell you one thing. It won't just fall out of heaven. Because if it did, everybody would be having it. There's only one way that it'll come. It'll only come through a window of the supernatural. And there's only one way to go through that door. It's called time spent. You can be blessed, prosperous, and He can give you a smooch every day. But if you want to be in a place where you can pull things out of that realm into this. In fact, let me just read a scripture to you. You might as well turn there. Hebrews 11. How many of you know what that's all about? Now faith. We've been there before, haven't we? Look at verse 1. By the way, Christy will be here the 20th through the 23rd. And Linda and little Christine. All right. Lorena, stand up. Lorena got married yesterday. Congratulations to you and Eddie. Amen. Send our regards. God bless you. Hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way for a moment. Father, I love you. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I thank you for everyone that's here and everyone that's here because you brought them here. There's not one that's here. They made it on their own. But Lord, if it was difficult, they drug themselves, or they came with great joy, or anything in between, your strength, your grace brought us all here. So I thank you for it. Lord, let everyone, it doesn't matter where we're at, if we've had a struggle in sin last night, or if we're on the top of our game today, and everything in between, God, let us all know that you are our Father, and you love us so much more than we can possibly imagine. Bless now your word for just these next few moments. And then send us home with a great day with our families. Or even as an individual, Lord, let them feel you as a family. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I can't tell you. I can only say it. And then you can imagine. You know the joy you felt if you're married this morning, if you were truly in love when you said, I do. Or you stood there and watched as a husband, that first one and that second one and however many came out of the womb. You laid that one, they laid that one in your arms. The joy, the love. There's what Marty call them, markers. There are. There's those high points. If you can imagine that, whatever high point, you say, oh, I haven't had a good life. Well, every little dog has some good day. Take your high point and magnify it over a million times. Maybe you can touch some kind of an imagination of what kind of love the Father has towards you. I mean, even when you feel like a worm and you've just got through. Now, this doesn't relate to anybody in here, but you've just told somebody whether they heard it or not, you said it inside of you. I mean, you thought of words that you didn't use when you were in the bar. You had things in your mouth that nobody would hold in their hand. Thoughts. Bad thoughts. Do you know your Father loves you with a compassion that you can't even imagine? But what makes all this jail about time stuff? You can get a little religious and hot under the collar and say, my God, you know, what's all this time stuff? Time is not the essence, but it is relevant. You can't say it's not relevant. It's not the essence. It's not a scorecard like you get an A this week because you did a lot of time, or a B or a C. It doesn't work that way. Time is what He comes and fellowships with you in. So it is relative. Meaning, you can't say, okay, 5 minutes this week, really, because of grace, will equal the same as 5 hours or 10 hours. Because if you spend more time with your friend, more of your friend rubs off on you. It's just relevant. It's just relevant. But every once in a while, you get a peek at His compassion. And if you ever get a peek at His compassion, now here's the sufferings of Christ. I said, you cannot have the sufferings that He took to the cross, meaning He'll not put depression on you. Jesus, God the Father, laid depression on Jesus. He won't put sickness. He won't put poverty. If you're going through a hard time in your checkbook, He's not the one who's doing that. Because He's not proving you in that. But there is a suffering that Paul said, I can suffer with Him. That suffering is this. It is when you allow Him to touch your heart with the compassion that the Father placed on the firstborn, which was Christ. And I can tell you this, having just been touched by it a few times, where I knew, and you have too if you've hung around Him long enough, when you look through His eyes, thank God it only lasts for just a moment. Because the pain of it, it's a bittersweet. Words really don't explain it. It feels so good and euphoric to your spirit. It's love, because love casts out all fear, and love doesn't have torment in it, and love has peace. But at the same time, it's like a stabbing sword that goes right down deeper than anything that you can possibly imagine. And you see people in their hurts and their dying and their depravity and all of where they're going, because they're a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. They're in the matrix. They're all running to the same thing. Give me another dollar. Let me live another life. What's in it for me? Let me get mine before you get yours. Where do I get mine at? Where do I get mine at? What makes me happy? I want to have a high day today. Where can I go to get a high day? How can I enjoy my day? It's me, 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 me. It's all about me. And you, from the time you're born, the soul goes into a programming process of, what about making me happy? Well, these kids don't make me happy. He don't make me happy. She don't make me happy. If I could do... Once in a while, you get to break out of it through the love of God. And when you see it, if you see it, it hurts so good. It hurts so good. Because you know that He loves people beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. And then if you ever see His worth, if you ever see His worth, see, it's like, why do you even preach all this stuff about spending time and motivating revivalists to spend time? Honestly, it's because if you ever get to see Him seated where He's seated and how much He loves you, my job's over. You'll battle like a crazy woman, a crazy man, to continue to find that place again and again and again. It's all there. Hallelujah. That's His sufferings. if you look at people and you hurt sometimes more, you feel like, now this, do you know it's compassion when that's not your baby? Because a mama will love a baby. I mean, my God, you'll cry. But when you look at people and something, you see them like it's a scale comes off your eyes. You forget about yourself, what you're going through for a little bit. You look and all of a sudden there's something that touches you. That's His compassion. And you see them like He sees them. When you do, you know that the Father is in a continual crying. He is crying. He's the sufferings of Christ is looking at people saying, I hurt when you hurt. And He wants you and I to be used like He was used. And if He can, He'll pour out extreme amounts of power through you to cause people's lives to be different today than what they were yesterday. Hallelujah. Just a couple of minutes or a few minutes. Look at this, because you already prayed for me. Verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things, what? Are we hoping for an outpouring or what? The evidence of things not seen. Are we seeing this? Is there a? In fact, there's no prototype in front of us. There's really no prototype. I mean, we're... when we see the blind eyes seeing and we're experiencing all that, the great part of the reward is already passed. The great part of the reward for you today is looking and hoping for something you can't see. That's where the reward's at. Well, how did it come about in days of old? Because chapter 11 is a hallmark of, and we're not going to go into all that, but it talks about David and Samson and Abraham and Joseph and all of those Old Testament saints. And it uses them as an example that they themselves, how they possessed faith. It says for the elders, and the elders that he's talking about is this eulogy, this long line, this lineage of people that he's going to list here in chapter 11 if you were to read it. If you haven't, read it. When you get home sometime this week in your meditation, it says through faith, we understand something. What do we understand, Paul? We understand that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, let me stop right there. Now, we've taught this before. Most of you will remember this. I used to hear faith teachers, which I love. I'm a faith teacher. They would say the worlds were framed. They said God stepped out on the universe. He filled His words with faith and He formed the worlds. That's not what it's saying. In fact, this is not the word worlds cosmos. It's the word worlds eons, which means a dispensation, a generation, a time frame. Our eon is 2008, and we're in the 21st century now. That's our world. That's our eon. And something is everything around us. We are framing our world, and meaning we're having an impact in our world by what we're doing as faith people today, saying in 2008, we're going to have a revival. Hallelujah. So it's not talking about God's creation. It's talking about the elders. And how that they, you can look at men and women today in our world who have cut out a chunk of history by some astronomical thing they've done, whether good or bad. Bill Gates has framed his world as being the richest man in America and the world. There may be a sheik in the Middle East that's comparable to, but I mean, that guy cut out. He'll always be known. There's no way to ever make him not known. If the world goes on, he changed his generation, good or bad, by making billions and billions of dollars and being the richest man on planet Earth. Hollywood stars, baseball stars, football stars, men who have set records. They have changed their eon by, they framed it, meaning they cut out a slot of it and framed it by something that they did, by something that she did, by something that everybody knows them. That's what this word here is saying in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, through faith, these things were accomplished. We understand that the eons, generations were framed by what? these men that it lists by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen, what things which are seen, meaning anything that has a history behind it, like if you say David, wow, you think of the giant killer, you think of the things about David that pop into your mind that would be listed in chapter 11. Samson, strongest man ever to live. So that the things that are seen, whatever they cut out, whatever their chunk of history that they performed and everybody knows them by, whether it's one or two or three things, it says those things that are seen, apparently seen. I mean, I can say David and all our little kids, you know, they think of the giant killer and then the king. And if I say Samson, wow, big, strong guy, you know. And you go through the different ones, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, the three Hebrew children, the fiery furnace. That's the first thing that pops in your mind. They framed their world. That was their testimony. We went through the fire. Daniel, the lion's den. The lion's den. He framed his world. His eon was, my testimony is, I went through the lion's den and the angel of the Lord saved me. Hallelujah. But those are the things that are seen. Meaning they're on the surface. Meaning we get to experience them along with their testimony, because the fruit of their testimony was the thing that appeared. The saving from the lion. Big, strong, you know, Samson. David in the sling. All those things, all the generations know that. But it says this. This is a beautiful thing. It says that the things that were seen were not made by the things that appear. Meaning this, you can't really see what caused that to happen. Beyond the surface of the giant killer was the heart of a man who was standing in faith of the Word of God. And what is seen, it's not apparent. It doesn't appear. It's not apparent to the outward surface. Hallelujah. You couldn't see the testimony. It didn't appear to the outward of Daniel, who trusted in his God and prayed three times a day. You couldn't see the inner workings behind him that caused his generation to be framed. You saw the testimony, but you couldn't see the unapparent, which was something working in the Word of God down in somebody's spirit. Hallelujah. My God, that's good stuff. The invisible things are the things that cause the things that are seen to be seen. It has to start out in a visible realm first. You can't see that realm. It's deeper than the apparent. He says, by faith, Abel, now he starts in on these guys, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By which he obtained witness, and this was his witness, that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts. By it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch, that's the man that was translated, you know, he just knew God. He was a real friend to God. Didn't even have a born-again spirit. You know, somebody that must have been spending a lot of time with God is Enoch. He was like, his God became more apparent to him than you in the room. Now, you'd think Enoch was real weird, because he'd be like, what do you think about me? Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, what'd you say? Because he was fellowshipping with God. They used to say, you'd be more, you know, need to be more earthly good. Listen, if I can fellowship close enough to him, and I can get blind eyes, sick kids, demented minds, call me weird. I don't care. Call me weird. Because people that are sane and not weird, they're not getting anything done. They're not framing their world. They're just in status quo. They're just like everybody else. Oh, come on now. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, this is the testimony. This is the thing that was unapparent. You couldn't see this, but it caused his translation. I mean, one day Enoch was, and the next day he was not. It's like, you want to have lunch together tomorrow? You know, Reuben? And then the next day, he's not there. What happened to him? How did he die? I don't know. God just took him. You know why God took him? God was having such a good time with Enoch. I would like to live my life scared, a little bit godly scared, that I wouldn't come home one day because God would just take me. Enoch did. That's living close. He says in verse 6, but without faith it is in, this is the key, this is the kicker. It is what? Impossible to please God. Now here's the definition of faith. You know, we always say 11:1, substance of things hoped for, evidence of not things. Here is the complete definition. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For He, and it's talking about all these men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samson, David, Daniel, those who came before Him, must believe what? That He is existent-wise? Oh, everybody, my God, 6-point-something billion people, 300 million Americans. You can't hardly find somebody that doesn't believe that He is. I mean, everybody believes that He is. That doesn't turn over anything. Oh, I believe God exists. No. He's saying the man that believes that He exists in the light by which He's going to frame His world. He believes that He is unto him what He calls him. He believes that He is his healer. Jesus, You bore in Your body my infirmity, and with Your stripes I am healed. The Word says that my poverty was placed on You. I believe that that's what You is. That's what You is to me. That You not only exist, but You exist in the light of everything that You cause these men and these women, their world to be framed in. And I believe that You are. I believe that You definitely are. I want you to know that I believe that You are. But here's the next thing. Here's the qualifier. Here's the qualifier. You are not, and you know this. This is no new news. You are not what you say. You're not. Not even me. You're not what you say. You are what you do. Now, if you say it enough, you'll start doing it. But you're not what you say. Well, my finances are a mess. But He is my provider. And you just go on. Listen, if you believe, my body's sick. How long has it been sick? I've had this infirmity for 10 years. But He's, you know, we say things as Christians to each other as buzzwords because we're expected to say it. Faith, you know, we're supposed to be faith people, so we expect each other to say, we're supposed to end our conversation like, man, we're having it rough and tough and everything. Oh, but He is my provider. Faith is, look at it, faith is the substance in verse 1 of things hoped for. But by the time you get over here, it says, without this faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, come to Him for what? For sickness, for disease, for poverty, for ministry that He's called you to, He must believe that He is what? That He is not only existent, but He's everything that He says He is to you. And then, if you believe it, He said that He is a what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. You are not what you say. You are what you do. Because if you believe, if you get the glimpse that He is your provider, when provisions are not coming in, you still believe, and then you believe the second half. If you have the revelation of the first that He is your provider, then you'll have the guts to get in there and step in and say, hey, we're not having it real nice right now, but I know the second part is He will reward me for diligently seeking Him. Jesus, I'm going to spend this next hour saying, You are my provider. You are my provider. Well, I believe He's my provider. How much have you been doing something about it? Well, I've just been catching Him on the slide. You're not what you say. You're what you do. Your actions speak louder than your words. Jesus said, if a man will do my sayings, he said, if you'll do my sayings, you'll build your house upon a rock. Well, I'm sick in my body. Well, do you believe he's your healer? Yes, I do, Pastor. Well, listen, how long has that been things there? It's been a while. Have I prayed for you? Yes, you've prayed for me, Pastor. It didn't go? No, it didn't. How many grace lines you been in? Oh, I don't know, 100. It's not gone? No. Well, I only got, here's the bottom rung. If this fails, there's nothing left. But this can't fail because this will frame your world. Do you believe he's your healer? Yes. The next step is he is a rewarder. What kind of reward? The thing that you're asking him for. The thing that you're believing that he is. If you'll go in there and diligently seek him and say, hey, the prayer line failed me. The pastor couldn't get it done. He hadn't got there yet. Benny Hinn couldn't get me done. Dave Roberson couldn't get me done. But I believe that he is. And if I believe that he is, then I'll prove my faith by staying diligent. I say, Jesus, you're my healer. 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, these men, their actions spoke louder than their words. We live in a... God bless y'all. I'm so glad you're here. I'm not preaching. I'm preaching. I'm sitting here with you. We live in a plastic church world today. Our words are what... I'm not talking about... Some of you think of words, the words that I'm wanting you to get to is the words that you speak and you're saying diligent. But I'm talking about buzzwords, cliches, stereotypes. It's plastic. It doesn't have power in it. When you start doing it is when it has power in it. When you believe that, you say, well, I don't want to earn nothing. This is what the word says. You diligently seek him. Diligent means you got to spend time with him. And if you do, and you stay in there and you say, I don't know if anybody else knows I'm in here. It doesn't matter. Your word says you are my healer. I might have been depressed, but Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the more time I spend with you, you promise that you are my peace. You are my peace. I call you my peace. I confess that you are my peace. And if you'll do that hour after, well, I believe he's my peace. How much did you spend last week? Well, but Pastor, he's still my peace. No, you don't believe it. You don't believe it. Yes, I do, Pastor. No, actions speak louder than words. You're not what you say. You're what you do. Glory be to God. If you believe it, you'll do it. Hallelujah. Where he's talking about a paycheck. If you're working for something, you believe, unless that guy has slighted you, you believe at the end of the week or the end of the month, you'll get a paycheck. That's why you go in. Sometimes you don't like it, but that's why you go in. You spend diligence at it because you get something out of it. See, the reason why it's not that, sometimes we think we're not praying because of... The reason sometimes we're not diligent is because we've not yet, myself included, seen the full revelation of who he is. Because then when you see the full revelation, you say, my God, it really does work. My God, this really will. That makes you, that gives you an umph and say, my God, I can do this. I'll get something out of it. I'll get something out of it. My God. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's revival stuff. The Lord said to me while Marty was talking, he said, let him talk. He's testifying. He's testifying of what I've been testifying to you about. Read the letter. Hallelujah. How many believe we're going to frame our world? We are. Why don't you just lift those hands for just a moment? I worship you, Father. I glorify you and exalt you and magnify you. There's none like you. The short time we have down here on this planet, I don't care about anybody knowing my name, but I do know this. I want to be left a legacy, leaving a legacy that, Lord, you did in me and through me what you wanted to do. So, Father, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our hours. So that, Lord, we get the best of everything that you provided. You're such a loving Father. You love the family unit. You love the little kids, and you love the hours that we can spend being mamas and papas and loving each other. You created us for that very thing. Do you want to just come right in the middle of it and do something as powerful as raise up a mighty revival and see our cities saved and see, Lord, the nation around about us cave in to the glory of God. So frame us. Help us to frame our world by going to a place where, Lord, our actions go along with our words. And I love you and I praise you and I thank you for all of these. Glorify you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus.